When I was growing up, one of my favorite things to do as an elementary school kid, was climbing trees. I absolutely loved it. Is there anyone else in here who, like, at that age, or maybe you are that age right now, and you really dig climbing trees? Anyone right now? Yeah, absolutely. So that's awesome. So part of the reason why I loved climbing trees so much was because at my home in South Florida that my parents actually still live in, they had this amazing ficus tree. Ficus tree is kind of a tropical tree that lives really well in South Florida. And this tree, I'm guessing it was like 100 years old, you know, or more. And it was massive, and it stood like this, like, just enormous tree in the middle of our neighborhood. It was the largest tree in our neighborhood by far. In fact, if you were to try to look at my parents' house on, like, Google Maps or something like that, you know, get the satellite picture from above that we can all do now, you would try to look at my parents' house, and from the top view, all you would see is just this tree. It was that massive, and it was absolutely amazing. So, you want to see the tree? Like, would that be all right? Can I show you? Let's go ahead for just a minute, show them the tree. Look, come on. I mean, am I telling you, like, exaggerating in any way? That right there is the most amazing climbing tree, and I'll just throw it out there. It beats any of your sad little trees in your yard by far. That is the coolest tree. We had rope swings that were around it. We had like a platform in the middle of it that was a tree house you could go up into. But you could get up so high into that tree. And as like an elementary school kid, man, that was where I spent my entire summer. The funny thing was, as I got older, and even after I moved out of my parents' house, and I would come back in my 20s, you know, I'm married, and I'd come over. Some of my friends would come with me in their 20s. They'd look at it and they'd be like, dude, we are so climbing that tree right now. It just never changed. You know, it was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. It stood alone as this huge beacon of fun in the middle of our neighborhood. Okay, now let's fast forward for a minute from my elementary school years to about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, my wife and I and our family, we were living here in Madison. I was a pastor here, and my parents, every year, you know, at least once, they come to visit us in Madison. And so they came in October of 2005, and that particular year, while they were here, there was a tropical storm out in the Atlantic that started to brew and made its way into the Gulf. Now, this was an incredibly bad hurricane year a decade ago. We just had the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina that took place and ravaged New Orleans. Well, the thing is, that one had been so bad, people forgot about the other hurricanes, actually, that hit that year. And there was one that moved its way into the Gulf. Everybody got really nervous. But then it did a weird thing you never see hurricanes do, that turned back upon itself and went across South Florida. And so my parents are like here enjoying fall, you know, in Madison, Wisconsin, while South Florida's getting tagged by this hurricane. And as soon as it had moved out into the Atlantic, my parents started to get phone calls from neighbors and got emails sent to them with pictures just like this one. The tree had gone down. Now, the good news is it did not go down on my parents' house, okay? That was good. But it did go down on their cars right there. Look at that. I mean, how crazy is that picture right there? Just destroyed both of their cars. The crazy thing that we learned in this whole thing was that ficus trees, although they grow massive in size, their root systems actually are not all that big. I mean, you look at that, and okay, there's a guy in front of it. It looks massive. But in comparison to the size of the tree, it's just not all that deep. And so even though my parents had done all this stuff to, like, man, they had that tree, like, groomed and clipped and, like, to keep it healthy and under control. And, I mean, they had spent thousands of dollars on this tree. Even though they had done all of that work, this tree, it stood alone. And because it stood alone, finally, as the winds and the storms came, man, it finally fell. Now, okay, why do I tell that story? Well, Okay, let me back up for a minute and first off say, welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name is Matt Metzger, and I'm the pastor of Black Hawk Church downtown. We meet in the middle of campus at Upper House. And man, happy Labor Day weekend. And let me also say a special welcome to like any college students who are in the room. Welcome back, college students from UW and Edgewood and MATC. We like Black Hawk Church, we love you guys. We are so glad that you're here. And we're hoping, man, that Black Hawk Church doesn't feel like just a place you go to, but it feels like home for you while you're here. But the other group that I want to say hi to is all the kids who are in the room right now. If you're an elementary school kid, man, welcome. We are so glad that you guys are here right now. You got a cool little bulletin on the way in, which is so whenever I sound boring, you can just like dive into that thing. To be honest, I wanted it. It looked so awesome. But man, we are so glad that you're here. And next week, you're going to be back in classes, and it is going to be absolutely amazing. You are going to love your teachers and the people that you get to do life with, but this week, it's like adult church time. Come on. So you get to experience it all. But I want to, so for kids, I want to ask you a question for just a minute, okay? Because for those of you who are in the room, my guess is for the majority of you, you've started school already, okay? And so here's what I want you to think about for a minute. I want you to think back to your first day of school, not just of this year, but of any time, okay? First day of school. Do you remember what that was like? Or have you ever had to like change schools? Like, and do you remember what it was like to walk into a new school for the first time? Maybe it was the, for some of you, the change going from elementary school into middle school, or middle school into high school. You know, or for some of you right now, you're probably college freshmen, you're in the room, and you've just experienced it. Like, you moved here to Madison, you got brought into a dorm, your parents helped you carry all your stuff in, and your flat screen TV, and your, you know, bulk amount of ramen noodles, and all of that stuff. You've made your Target runs, and now mom and dad are ready to leave, you know? And so they come over, and mom and dad, they're like hugging on you, and it moves from like teary to like ugly cry, you know what I'm talking about, where like mom and dad, they're like, like it just gets, and you're feeling awkward, and you're hugging them, but you're kind of ready for them to leave, and they finally go, and now you're just there. And you're there, and there's sort of an anxiousness, regardless of wherever it is that you're starting school, you just get nervous. And one of the things that you're wondering about is, am I going to be standing alone? Okay, you wouldn't say it that way, you know, but the thing that we begin to wonder is like, am I going to make friends? Am I going to have like anybody that I get to hang out with at lunch and do life with? Is there going to be anybody around who just likes me for me? Am I going to find, kind of an adult way of saying it, is true community? I mean, for parents, isn't that the thing that we want for all of our kids? You know, as they go off to school, we're just, part of the reason why it's so hard to see them like get on that bus or head to college or do whatever it is because we want them to find true community. We want them to find people that they're going to do life with, and not just any people, but people who are going to like build them up and encourage them and help them to make right decisions and be there with them when like the storms of life are coming. Because it's not if the storms and winds of life are coming, it's when they're coming. And for all of us, we need that in our lives. Now, the thing is, as we get older, we just start to forget about that. You know, maybe you're a 20-something and you work at Epic because that's what every 20-something does, you know, in this area. You know, and you're working at Epic and you moved here and you're going, I need a community of friends. For others of us, we're adults. And it's easy for us to forget about the importance of community. But for us at church, we believe, for those of us who are Christians, we believe that we're hardwired for this. Like, we believe that God has set us up as people to have a need to be in one another's lives. Like, we have a need for people to be in our lives and us to be in other people's lives in order to be true community. It's the way that we've been created, regardless of whatever stage of life that we're in. And so we felt like at Black Hawk today, this might be a good thing to talk about. We are, next week is our kickoff week of everything that's going to be starting at church. Last week, we just finished a series on prayer that we've been going through for the summer, which was awesome. Next week, we're starting this new series called Thrive, taking a look at the book of Daniel. It's going to be awesome, you know. But this week, we had 1 week, like a one-off week to talk about anything that we wanted to. A group of us got together. If we could talk about anything with the church, what would we decide on? And we decided to land on this subject of the importance of true community. And the reason why we thought that would be important to talk about is because when it comes to church, for a lot of us in the United States, in the Western world, you could say that for a lot of us, when we think of church, we think that it's sort of just like a place that I show up to. Like, it's important to go to, and so we make sure that we're there, you know, and we show up. But there's sort of a trend in the world that we just sort of, you know, tend to show up and check it out. We think of church as a place we attend. We show up, we go to a service, you know, you walk in, you get a cup of coffee, you sing some songs, you listen to a guy like me speak, you know, and then you're on your way, and you can check that box off. We could easily say that we tend to attend. We just sort of show up. In fact, we could even take it a step further, that in the U.S., there's a trend that we tend to attend, you know? But this is not at all what God desired for church to be for us. And we know that because of the way that we are hardwired for community. That when God created this idea of church, it wasn't the idea of us just simply coming and listening to something in rows. But it was that we would be people who would gather together and in this place find true community, to find something deeper than just showing up and listening to a message and leaving, that we would find friends who were willing to walk alongside us in life, that there would be deep connections that would take place with others here. In other words, God's desire was not that we would just tend to attend, but that we would expect to connect. So we could even take it a step farther. There's a trend that we tend to attend, but I detect that when we expect to connect, that it will have great effect. Come on now. So today's today's message is brought to you by Dr. Seuss. There'll be copies for everyone on the way out the door. why would God want this to be a place where we expect to connect? Why would he just not want us just to come in the doors and tend to attend, but instead to expect to connect? Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the way that we've created us, and it was incredibly important to him. And in fact, he even talked about it. It's interesting. Jesus, when he was walking the planet, he talked about this. And he talked about this at a very interesting time that he brought it up with his disciples. If you brought Bibles, turn in your Bibles for just a minute to John chapter 13. Now, John 13 is a section of the book of the letter written by John where Jesus is with his disciples. And this is the night before he's going to his death. And so, you know, Jesus knew these were the last moments when I'm going to be together with my guys, with my followers. And so there were some, I mean, you think about it. He knew what was coming. And so there were things he really wanted to get across to the people who he had been following him. Like certain messages, he just really wanted to drive home before his followers were going to see him go to a horrific death. These were kind of his last words that he had the opportunity to share with them before he was going to go to his death. And one of the things that he wanted to share with them was this whole principle. In John chapter 13, starting with verse 34, it says this: love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, that you're my followers, if you love one another. What was he saying there? He was saying that I want you to love each other the way that I've loved you. And let's take that a step deeper. So in the same way that I have, man, walked alongside you, cared for you, listened to you, been there for you, encouraged you, served you, and ultimately that I am going to give my life for you. In the same way that I've done those things, I want you to do that for each other. In the same way that I've loved you that way, I want you to love each other. And that when you do this, when you love each other this extraordinarily, like people who are on the outside, who don't know me, will see the extraordinary way that you love each other. And it will be so attractive to them that they'll desire to be a part of it and gain an understanding of who I am as the true God of love. That was his desire. And his followers, man, they bought into this idea of the importance of one another. So in fact, as we go into the New Testament that was written after this time, man, the whole concept of one anothering one another was all over the New Testament. I mean, close to 60 times this is talked about in different places. Look at some of these together. Accept one another. Bear one another's burdens. Confess sin to one another. Encourage one another. Be kind to one another. Serve one another. Forgive one another. Pray for one another. Offer hospitality to one another. Be patient with one another. Honor one another. Submit to one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Come on. Now that's one, actually, greet one another. I ended with that one for a reason. That's actually talked about four different times in the New Testament, which makes some of you uncomfortable right now. This is the one for me in particular. Like when I was dating my wife, I so wanted her to understand this. I was like, honey, come on. It's a biblical principle, you know, that we're buying into here. So, but we get the picture when we see a list like that of what God desires for us to be as the church, as his followers. That we would be people who love one another, like that we would love one another this way so deeply that the world outside would see what we have and be drawn to it, because our lives would be different from the way that we love one another. The church wouldn't be just a place that we tend to attend, but that when we gather together, that we would expect to connect. Okay, but let's be honest. I mean, Blackhawk's a big church, right? Yeah, I mean, just look around the room. I mean, look around the room at any of your sites right now. I mean, we're a church of three sites, multiple services, you know, all sorts of stuff going on here with tons of people. But at Blackhawk Church, we really buy into the idea of the importance of expecting to connect, of one anothering one another, that we're not supposed to just be a church that gathers in rows, but that gathers in groups as well. And so we've tried to create places for people at every stage of life to be able to have this kind of opportunity. So for those of you who are kids who are in the room right now, you're here for this Sunday, let me tell you, next week at this time during these services, you're going to have the opportunity to be able to gather with other people like in your grade, in your stage of life with some different leaders, man, who are going to love you and are going to love nothing more than to help you understand who Jesus is and how much he really loves you. For those of you who are in middle school or high school, this happens in home groups every week around the surrounding Madison area. And let me tell you, I mean, these groups are absolutely fantastic. I know that the world of a middle schooler and high schooler like gets busy. I have one of each of them myself, but let me just tell you, you are missing out if you don't get into a home group and get the opportunity with other people who are in your stage of life, wrestling with and dealing with the same type of questions, to have the opportunity to be able just to walk alongside them and to be with other leaders, man, who really want to help you understand how much Jesus really loves you. For college students, man, we have an unbelievable college age ministry here at Blackhawk Church for students at UW and Edgewood and MATC, and also just, you know, people in that stage of life who aren't going to college. That's why we call it college age ministry, with all kinds of opportunities for you to be able to gather with people who are your age and dealing with the same things that you are at this stage of life in order to wrestle with the questions that we all have and to try to find Jesus in the midst of all of that stuff. Our college ministry is fantastic. But for you who are college students, that's not your only opportunity. Because see, as a church, we partner with different campus ministries here that we just love and think are doing a fantastic job. Groups like Crew and Athletes in Action, InterVarsity, Navigators. Like, we love these ministries and know their leaders and like partner and work with them. And so you look at all of those ministries together, the gamut of places that you have at your fingertips to be able to connect with people is unbelievable. For those of you who are adults, anyone kind of older than college, we try to create different opportunities for you to be in intentional, small communities where you can get to know people and have people get to know you. It happens in our Encounter Women's Bible Study, or in our mom-to-mom group, which is set up for moms who are in that stage of life with little kids and they're just trying to make it, to kind of be able to walk alongside each other. It happens in our men's community that meets weekly. It happens in different kind of age-appropriate stage ministries like Access 2030s. It happens in things like our divorce care ministry, which is set up to walk alongside people at a really difficult time of life to be able to learn from each other and care and encourage one another in the midst of divorce. And obviously, it happens in life groups. A lot of you are in life groups. That's awesome. Life groups are, in my opinion, the easiest way to be able to connect with people because they happen every night of the week, and they happen all over the surrounding Madison area. You have so many opportunities to be able to connect with a group. And listen, let me be honest for a minute. Because some of you right now might be going, Matt, look, I tried that, and I hated it. You know, like I got in a group and it was awful. I didn't like those people, you know, and it just wasn't for me. Or Matt, look, it was uncomfortable. We can all share stories of times where you might have been in a group and it wasn't a great experience. I mean, we hear those stories around here all the time. I'm not standing up here trying to paint a picture that every group will be your greatest experience of all time in your life, you know. But some of you have written them off because you had a bad experience. And I just want to challenge you on that. I mean, because in lots of other areas in your life, you don't do that. I mean, think about it. Like, we've all had a bad doctor's visit, haven't we? But we didn't, like, write off the whole medical field because of that, you know? We all had a bad teacher at some point in our life, but we didn't give up on the education system, at least not most of us, you know? Like we've all had those experiences. I'm just saying, even if you had a bad one, you need to try it again. You need to, when it comes to church, expect to connect, because we have been hardwired with a need to be in one another's life, to love one another as Christ loved us. Okay, so what are the benefits? Like, what do we gain when we jump into a group? And kind of like saying, what are the effects we should expect when we connect, you know? Well, the main things, I think, are one, that you are strengthened, and two, that you have the opportunity to grow. And those happen in different ways. One way, I think, is one of the first ways that it ends up happening. And this is, again, our hopes of what happened in a group. I can't guarantee it's going to happen, but this is our desire. This is God's desire for any group like this, is that we would one, that we would be known and accepted. And I say those two things together, to be known and accepted, because I think that they're incredibly important, because a lot of times we just work with the idea of being accepted. But let's be honest, we've all figured out ways to be accepted in the world, haven't we? I mean, we all figure out the masks that we need to put on in order to be accepted by other people. You figure that out at your workplace. You figure that out in your neighborhood. You figure that out with other groups of your friends. And we're really good. I mean, even at a young age, we're really good at putting on masks to look like the people that we think people want us to be, so that we can be accepted. I mean, that's so much of like what social media is all about these days. You know what I'm saying? Like, we paint the picture of how good everything is. You know, it's like, it's the couple who like puts up their date night picture again, or hey, having quality family time over Labor Day weekend, there's the picture. Or the mom who on the first day of school, you know, puts up the picture of the all organic lunch with kale chips for their kids, you know. It doesn't show the picture a couple weeks later of like leftover pizza with stale Oreos that she's sending for her kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have this perspective of wanting to paint a picture so that we might be accepted. See, there's something so important about being truly known. Do you realize that? And accepted. Think about that. To be known for who you truly are. Because that's the way that God knows you. There's a passage of scripture I just want to look at for a second. Romans chapter 15. The Apostle Paul says this: accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now just think about that for a minute. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. How did Christ accept us? Well, we know he fully accepts us. But are we pulling the wool over God's eyes? You know, I mean, so that he doesn't know anything? Are we like fooling him? Because, you know, I mean, it can be really easy to come into church and to fake it. You know, I mean, to put on the mask, we can come in and we can sit down and we can sing the songs. We can close our eyes. And we can even like raise our hands and people look at us and go, wow, they must be really spiritual, you know, underline our Bibles, you know, and do all of that and be completely faking it. You see, the thing that's amazing about Jesus is that he fully knows you and he accepts you. That's what we're supposed to experience to some level in groups. That's what we're supposed to experience when we truly connect. That you would be known for, that you can be in a place where you can, over time, begin to bring the mask down. This doesn't mean that your group becomes like a therapy session for you to like throw up all over. No, it's not that yet. You know what I'm saying? But that over time, as you build relationship, and with some of them, maybe even to deeper levels, you can bring down the mask And realize what an unbelievable feeling it is when you become known for who you truly are and to realize that you are still accepted for who you are. But we don't want to just end there. The goal of this is not just to be known and accepted, because then we leave each other kind of short of what God really desires for us. The other thing that you should expect when you connect, the other effect, would be that you're challenged. That you're challenged to become somebody different. You know, I mean, let's face it, for us who are Christ followers, in other words, who at whatever stage we're at are trying to take a step to follow Christ, the goal would be that our lives would look different, that we would become different kinds of people because of realizing who Jesus is, that our lives would begin to look more like him. And so we're supposed to help each other in the process of that. There's a passage in the book of Hebrews that, to be honest, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this passage, where the author said this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Okay, now I love the fact that it says encouraging one another. That's fantastic, because I'm all about, you know, being encouraged and encouraging other people. But we kind of pass over the word spur. And the reason why is because in the English language for us today, that doesn't really mean all that much. But actually, like when we get into the original Greek, the word that's used there is the same word that they use for irritate. I mean, think about that. So we could change the translation to, "And let us consider how we may irritate one another on towards love and good deeds." How fun does that sound, you know? But listen, isn't it true that for any of us, when we get to know people, this might be, you know, coworkers, or, you know, people you live in the dorm with, neighbors that you have, family members, isn't it true that, like, with anyone that we get to know, we start to notice things about them and we wonder why it is that they don't notice it? Like you start to notice, like, there's certain people who just have a temper and kind of fly off the handle, you know, or they can just be really negative or always kind of biting and sarcastic, you know, or they're really arrogant and we're not sure where they got that from, you know, but they just sort of tend to, or they always have to talk about themselves. You might be with, a parent who's parenting their kids and you're just looking at the situation going, "Oh, that is so not going to work right now," you know, or like hear somebody talk to their spouse and you're like, "Woo, that is like, I'm so glad I'm not in those shoes right now." We all notice that about everyone that we really are in relationship with. Isn't that true? And the reason why we notice those things is because those are blind spots in people's lives. But here's the reality. We notice them in everybody else and think everybody has issues with it, but not us. Because, you see, they're blind spots. We totally miss the fact that we have them too. But we're supposed to be in relationship with people. If we're expecting to connect the way that God desires for us to, in places where we know we're loved, we know we're known, and we're fully accepted. And we're willing to gently, by encouraging and sometimes irritating one another, to like be willing to hold up the mirror. And to be willing to receive that from each other. You see, okay, can I talk to a particular group? Some of you, you're in life groups right now, or you're in one of these other ministry groups, and you're in it because Black Hawk has told you to, and so you go, "Okay, yep, so I'm at church, check, and I'm in a life group, check, and I'm done." But guess what? You're in a group, but you've never allowed anyone to truly get to know you. Like, and you can show up, and you can answer some questions about the sermon, and you can even get into a theological debate or some different things like that, but you've never allowed anyone to honestly get to truly know you. And so you've never experienced what it means to truly be accepted. Far be it, I mean, from the idea of anyone bringing up anything that you might need to in some way be encouraged to work on in your life. And so you still are meeting the trend just to tend to attend. And I just want to tell you, you're missing out on the richness of what it is that God desired for us to experience when we truly gather in true community. Okay, there's one last one. So we're known, we're accepted, we're challenged, and the last one is that we're supported. In the book of Galatians, it says this. Apostle Paul said, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, I could talk about the inside of all this passage, what it means to bear one another's burdens, but I can just say that practically, there's nothing that has affected my wife's and my life more than this one. Over the last 5 or 6 years, when I found out a year and a half ago that my dad had cancer, It was people from my life group, as soon as I put word out, that were immediately at my house and emailing me and texting me and telling me they were praying for me, bringing us food just there to encourage us. When my wife and I have had marriage issues, and just like every couple has marriage issues, for some reason people always think the pastors don't have marriage issues. They're like, oh yeah, sure, marriage issues, like what? You're trying to like, you're debating over like what translation of the Bible you use as a couple? Or, and I'm like, no, we have real issues. And when we have had issues, it's been couples in our life groups who have walked alongside us, gently held up the mirror in order to help us to grow and become more like Jesus. As I've struggled with depression, I have kind of a mild depression that I deal with at different times. It's been people in my group who have walked alongside me and encouraged me and listened to me and prayed for me in the midst of those times that I turn to when the days are dark. You know, see, we all need that. And as we are like that with each other, here's the thing that takes place. When we become that way for one another, when you become that way, one, when you have people in your life that way, and when you become that for other people, there's something that takes place. You are strengthened and you grow. It's kind of like redwood trees. I don't know if you've ever been to Redwood, you know, the Redwood National Forest out in, I think, Humboldt County, California. I've never been there, but I see these pictures of, like, cars that drive through the inside of a tree, and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. These trees, they are absolutely massive. I mean, and they, like, they figured out that for a lot of them, they've grown anywhere between, like, hundreds of years and thousands of years. I mean, ranging between 200 and 350 feet. In height. They are just absolutely enormous. But the interesting thing is, much like the ficus tree, their roots only go a few feet deep. But they end up growing out, and as they do, they intertwine with one another. And as these roots begin to intertwine with one another, they support each other. So that as the winds of California come and the storms, and okay, California, earthquakes end up coming. These trees, redwood trees, rarely ever fall because they are literally supporting each other. They are literally holding each other up. You see, I think that's what God desires from us. He desires for us to be people who would hold one another up by the way that we one another. This is what the church is intended to be. It's not to be a place where you just come and sit and attend and gather in rows, but it's a place where you're supposed to gather in circles. And so my question for you is this: are you in a group? And if you're in a group, are you really in a group? And if you're not, man, I just want to encourage you today to take a step. All of these different groups that I talked about, they are all live and able for you. You can sign up for any of them today. You can go online right after this and sign up. And kids, okay, anyone who's a kid in the room right now, this is why it was so important for us to talk to us. This is why it was so important for me to talk to everyone about this today, is because, you see, there's a way that your parents need to sign up through the internet. And they don't totally get it, but you do. And so we need you to help your parents sign up because you understand like the web better than they do. Can I get an amen on that? So we need your help. But listen, in all seriousness, would you consider signing up today? Would you get into some form of some type of group that you would become a person who is known? If you were in a group, can you imagine what it would look like? Like if we just made it a goal to be able to one another this way, to help each other to be known and to know one another, to accept one another deeply, to challenge each other and support each other. Think of every group at Black Hawk Church became more this way this year because you said, I'm committing to those things and I'm going to make my group more that way. I'm going to make myself more vulnerable and I'm going to try to help the others around me to become that way as well. Can you imagine the strengthening and the growth that would take place? Can you imagine marriages and families that would be saved? Lives that would look completely different because of the way that we one another, the way God intended for us to be as a church. I mean, my belief is if we could do that, man, people on the outside, they would look at what we have. And they would be so drawn to it because they would understand to a deeper level who Jesus really is, the one who accepts us and knows us and supports us and challenges us and desires to do that in our lives through one another. Don't just tend to attend. Expect to connect. My guess is if you do, it will have great effect. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are and the role that you play in our lives. And God, we thank you that you've wired us to need each other. And God, I pray for all over Black Hawk Church, people listening right now at all of our sites, all of our venues, people who are online because they're away on Labor Day weekend, that you would, God, that you would give us just that thing, in, that urge inside of us to get connected, that we might become a community of people who one another to such a great level that it shows the world more of who you truly are. We pray this in Jesus' name.